Okay, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Saints, it's such a beautiful morning. Amen. Because of the burden the Lord has put in my heart.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for how the brother explains our conduct in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
As you can see on this outline, it talks about our conduct in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start with the basics. All of us here speak English, right? Sorry, saints. But most of us speak English, and we know what conduct means, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know, the direct definition means behavior. It's linked to how you behave. It's linked to how your actions are. So when it comes to conduct, it's not about what you say, but it's about what you do. Paul, thank you for even standing. Yes. If somebody asks you, am I a basketball player, what would you say?
No.
Hmm. But I can tell you, I know all the stats of LeBron James and Michael B. Jordan. Sorry, Michael Jordan. But I can say all of it from 4 years plus by. I've gone through the whole school scholarship of knowing basketball, and I can recite all the stats. Am I a basketball player? Why not?
You.
He knows the truth. For those that don't know, I am very bad at basketball. If you see me play, it's bad. How much more are the people in the world when they see you and you say you're a Christian? We do not just want to be Christians by words, by speaking. It's by actions. All of us here are brothers and sisters. Yes, we know you're filled with the Spirit, Glenn. Praise the Lord. Well, you're filled with the Spirit too. We're all saints here, but how much so than the person in the world that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ? Can he say this person is a Christian by his actions? You can see the first point here, it says, do our actions reflect Christ?
Amen.
You can see there's a question mark. If you notice, all of this have question marks because it's to search your hearts. This is not for me to go over pointing, but for you to search your hearts. Is Christ our role model? Is Christ our example? What are Christ-like virtues that we have? What are the fruits of the Spirit that we exhibit through being in the Spirit? Things like that are questions we should ask ourselves. I have role models. Oh, sorry. My bad. Things are, my voice is too loud. No, you're good, Mom. I have role models. And when you have a role model, what do? You look at their life. You emulate it. What they're doing, because you want to be like them, what they're doing, you would do in your current day. I can't say Jen is my role model. I don't cook good food. Jen makes a very nice beef. Where's Jen? She makes a very nice beef patty, yes. I can't say Jen's my role model. I don't cook. Things like this. If Christ is our role model, we need to observe his life on earth and also do it in our daily life. And as the brother said, we cannot do anything in our flesh. It has to be by the Spirit. I'm going to read John 13, verse 14 to 15. Amir, can you read it for me, please?
John 13?
14 and 15.
Sure. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Christ said it here, you should do as I have done. I feel like it's self-explanatory. Like, you should do as I, and this is Christ as a servant. Christ as a servant.
Amen.
We all practice it here in the Lord, in the house of the Lord. When I see Nina going outside to get the food, I stand up and rush outside. I try to help her because I'm trying to be a servant. But when I see a person at my workplace carrying a big heavy load, I just look at them like, okay. Are they going to ask me for my help or should I go help them? I don't know what to do. But Christ as a servant. We should not just do it in the house of the Lord, but we should do it to all of those around us, even in the world. That is something that we should understand. And it talks about, are we expressing Christ in our actions? This is something I want the saints to understand. Do our actions express Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I use the illustration saying, Paul, am I a basketball player? I use that illustration because Paul knows me. He's played basketball with me. Your coworker, your neighbor, your classmates, do they know you're a Christian by your actions? Or because, yes, I'm a Christian, John 3:16. Yes, I'm a Christian, Philippians. Sorry, I forgot that one.
Philippians 2:15.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. See, things like this, we can rapid fire the verses.
Yeah.
It can come out in an instant. But then if your actions are saying otherwise, oh boy. Your coworkers will be talking behind you that, look, he says he's Christian, and look what he's doing. Yeah. Shame. Where's Anna? Anna, give me one fruit of the Spirit. We talked about it yesterday. Beautiful. Isaiah, go ahead. Fruits of the Spirit. How do you practice that in your daily life? We talked about it yesterday. I had a fellowship with the children. Amazing fellowship. They could list the fruits of the Spirit. Isaiah was going. Anna was going. Nathan was giving 3, 4, 5. How do you express it in your daily life? Isaiah got stuck. Isaiah was like, he got stuck for a second. He was like, then he came up and said, I obey my parents. Okay, aside from that, how about people in the world? Isaiah got stuck again. He started thinking, how will I do this? I told Anna, Anna, give me a form of gentleness that doesn't involve your family. My fault. Obedience that doesn't involve your family. Anna was like, yes. She gave a good example. So what is the point of doing this to each and all of us saints when we can't even express it to the people that the Lord wants to bring into his church?
Amen.
If the Lord wants to bring, let's say, Brother Glenn, you're not a believer, if the Lord wants to bring you into the church life, and I am supposed to be the one to show the life of Christ, and you see me getting angry at work, throwing a table, coming to my co-worker saying that I don't like the way you look at me. It's not the life of Christ,
right,
ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, it's saints. Sorry, I like to ladies and gentlemen, especially with the kids, because they're old enough to understand that the life of Christ is evident in everything they do. So saints, conduct needs to be what we have to do. We can read the Bible. Reading the Bible is 100% okay. Reading the Bible is what you have to do. Fellowshipping with the saints, you have to do it.
Right.
When Christ comes back, is he going to ask you how many conferences you've been to? Is Christ going to ask you how many children's services have you done? Is Christ going to ask you how many service schedules have you updated, Leo? Christ is going to ask you, how have you expressed me in your daily life?
Amen.
How have you transformed? How have you reflected Christ in your daily life? Saints, let these words not be doctrine, but to be life-giving spirits.
Amen.
We should also continue with this, is that what is our priority?
Right.
We can say, okay, yes, our conduct, we have to, you know, I want to be nice to this person so that I can get a raise. I want to do this job for this client so that the client can keep coming back to me. What is our priority? What should be our forefront when we do things? What should be our driving factor? You know how the gears of a car, is it a car or something? Some wheel thing, you know, the gears move. Thank you, I think that's it. But the gears move, but so what's that driving factor? What's the chain that moves those gears? Is it, I want to be better in my career? Is it, I really want this girl to like me, so I'll show her gentleness? Is it, I really want to get that raise, so I'm going to show love to my co-workers and my boss is going to see that I'm such a caring person? What is that priority? What's that gear? What's that chain that moves our gears? Ofre, can you read for me Luke 14:16? Continue to 21.
And sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are ready." So they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I bought a piece of land and I must go and see it. I ask that you have the excuse." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask that you have the excuse." Still another said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quick into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind."
Praise the Lord, saints. All of this are beautiful excuses. Like, you know, I just got a new job. Lord, please give me some time. I need to perfect my job so I can be stable in my job, and then I'll serve the Lord. Lord, I just got married to this person. Please, Lord, give me some few time, and then I'll stable my household, and then I'll come to the church. All of this are beautiful excuses. And that just goes to show what our priority is. If the Lord calls you today, are you going to tell him, "Wait, I'm going to be there tomorrow"? I love how I was fellowshipping with my mom and dad the other day. And it was just a little thing, but it was a funny thing. I don't know what conversation, but my dad was like, "How did you go again?" He was like, "The people that the person called at the 11th hour, like the 11th hour, they still get the same." My mom said they still get the same, you know, reward as somebody they called at the 6th hour. But then my dad's not like, that's not the point. The people that the Lord called at the 10th hour and that they said that, "Lord, wait, I'll join you in the 11th hour," they die at 11:59. Sorry, 10:59. I'm trying to explain that if you say to the Lord when he calls you right now, "Lord, give me a second. I will be there in the next week or 2 weeks." What happens if you lose your life the next day? The cares of the world choke us all. Like it says in the parable, what happens to the seed that was dropped in the thorns? We all know the story. Isaiah, what's the story? He knows the story. We all know the story. The thorns stop you from growing. You hear the word. You love the word. But the cares of this world, career, riches, life. Anyone asked me a beautiful question the other day, "What is the meaning of life?" And we were joking around. Like, you know, life is the spirit, you know, we gotta live by the spirit. Right, everyone? Was it around that? Was something around that? Life, we gotta live by the spirit. We gotta walk in the spirit. That is the meaning of life. But are we practicing what we say is the meaning of life? We can't just say it just because we're just saying it. Our actions have to say it. I love how the world uses actions speak louder than words. That's true. A person would tell you who you are by your actions, not by what you tell them. I can tell you I am a well-refined basketball player. I have the height, I have the build. I almost have the height, I have the build. I can, you know, dunk, I have a 2-meter vert. I can tell you all of that, but if you put me on the pitch, I can't even bounce the ball. Like, I do the double bounce every 2 seconds. A double bounce, for those that don't know, is like when you hold the ball and you bounce, and then you run again and you hold the ball like this and you bounce. But that's too much technicality. If I want to show the life of Christ to everybody, not just in the church life, but in the world, they're going to know me by my actions. And I just go into one thing that I want all of us to really resonate with, which is the fragrance of Christ. You can see that's the only point here with no question mark. The fragrance of Christ.
Amen.
Anna, can you read for me 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14 to 15? Yes. Chapter 2 verse 14 to 15.
Triumph in Christ and through us different
diffuses. Diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. This fragrance of Christ, what do we understand? Parto, you put on a lot of, you know, beautiful, sweet-smelling fragrances. Every time she goes out, she buys this candle, she buys that candle. She's like, Charles, come. I have a candle here. I want to show you. She says, how does this one smell? I'm like, yeah, it smells good. This one smells, it smells the same, but it smells good. 4, 5, 6. My nostrils are dead. But she says, I like to smell all these candles because it's very nice. She enters the car, when I pick up, the whole car is filled with 95 perfumes she sprayed on. Only 95. There's still more. But when I think about it, I'm like, and I spoke to her. She's spraying it because she wants people to not just, she likes the smell, but she wants people to not just think, oh, she's smelling bad, or like, she wants people to smell it. That's the same way we should put on the fragrance of Christ. Not only for ourselves to smell nice, but also for others. When you have the fragrance of Christ on and you enter a room, it should fill that room.
Amen.
Your co-workers, you're working beside them. Once you enter into the office, I was like, Christ like is here. My dad tells me this one story I will never forget whenever I speak about, or whenever I think about the fragrance of Christ. He tells me about when he comes into a room or when he comes into a place where all unbelievers are speaking, or like he just enters the building or the room, they change the topic. They change whatever they're speaking about. Because he's put on that fragrance of Christ, illuminating the room. They know that this person is of Christ.
Amen.
Let's not soil him or taint him with our worldly aroma. Let's be attracted to him more, to indulge in this aroma of Christ.
Yeah.
And the question is, the main question is, how do we put on this fragrance of Christ?
Right.
I love it how the kids all know the fruit of the Spirit. Don't worry, Isaiah, I'm not going to call you. I see Isaiah looking at me like, oh no. But I love it how the kids know the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we do it. That fragrance, we put it on. We do not want to have, you know, the fruit of the flesh. I don't think there's such a thing like that. But my mom used to tell me this one thing when I was younger. Oh, this is a good one. Mom used to tell me this one thing, because when I was younger, I was like a, like this, you know, I always used to, no, how do, yeah, like this. I always used to stand like this and just walk everywhere like this. She used to compare me to a toad. So there's a difference between a toad and a frog. A frog stands like this. A toad stands like this. And the story is that the reason why a toad stands like that is because during the time in the animal kingdom, the lion died and they were looking for a king. So the toad started to stand like this because he needed everybody to know that he's a king. So in the so that when they're choosing a king, they'll look at the toad first. When they're asking who's a Christian, do they point at you? Ask the question, do they point at you? Do they say, If somebody comes into the room, please, I'm a new believer, I'm looking for a Christian. Your coworker says, oh yes, Mary Beth over there. They're like, yes. It's like, why? Did she say she's a Christian? I'm not looking for anybody that says she's a Christian. I'm looking for somebody that expresses like, yes, Mary Beth over there. They point at her and say, yes, go to her. She will tell you everything about you want to know about the Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's how it is. That's how it is. We should understand that when we are filled or covered with the fragrance of Christ, it should be evident. We don't need to say words. We don't need to speak much. We need to show it.
Amen.
Gentleness. Love. Not just love for your brother, Amir, I love you so much, but love for your coworker. Love for your neighbor. Love for that person that just doesn't like you. Oh, yeah, I have a good experience like this. This one person that just doesn't like me because they say, oh, Charles is, I feel like he's faking being nice. And I think to myself, how do I fake being nice? And it's possible because several people can be nice through the flesh. But I'm showing the love genuinely because of the Spirit. And when it comes to the worldly people, they cannot fathom. If you're nice genuinely, they think you either want something or you've done something or you want to take something.
Right.
There's always an ulterior motive when you come and tell somebody, are you okay? They always think that there's something. But if you keep on putting on that fragrance of Christ,
yeah,
more in, day in, walking the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, having that sweet aroma of Christ.
Amen.
They're not going to say, oh, he's being nice to me because he wants something. They're going to say, this is who he is. And I don't want them to say that either. Do you know why? Because that's not who I am. That's Christ.
Amen.
I don't want people to come to me because I'm a nice person. I want to come to me because they see Christ. They see the fragrance. They smell it. They feel it. Fragrance of Christ doesn't mean something you can see. You can't see fragrance. Pastor, can I see the scent of 6 perfumes you light in your room? I can't. Open the window. Light up 6 of them. You'll be getting fumes from the burning curtains, probably. But we won't see the fragrance, but we'll smell it. Light a candle there, it's going to smell. It's going to fill the whole room. We're going to smell it. It's going to be like, this is nice. And that's just how our conduct should be in the world.
Amen.
We shouldn't just let our words speak. The lips flutter. The lips just, they can see everything. Our actions should watch it tell you who we are. Our Christ-like virtues. Things like that. I love it how, you know, throughout this whole thing, I've been going over the Word and reading the Word and expressing the Word. Not just this conference. I've been reading and expressing the Word. I've been telling everybody, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But then the Spirit keeps prompting me with different experiences that show that I'm not acting Christ-like. I can say I'm a Christian. But when a co-worker just steps on my toes and doesn't even say sorry, I get mad. I'm like, my leg was there. You went out of your way to step on my leg. And you didn't apologize. The one thing that the Lord struck me with was, I was walking this way. And this is at work. I'm wearing my work t-shirt. If you guys don't know, I'm a coordinator at Seneca. What that means is, they treat us like we're some form of celebrities. So if you're a coordinator and you're wearing a shirt, everybody knows, oh, that's a coordinator. Let's give them space. Let's take pictures with them. I think they do it in Unam. I don't know about King, but they don't do it in King. But they do it on my campus. They treat us like, you know, we're there. But this one day, I was just wearing my t-shirt, walking, and there was this tight hallway. And I was walking, and there was a guy coming. And I was like, let's see if both of us do one of these so we don't bump into each other. And you know, it's going to be nice. I did this. This man fully walked like this. And when I passed and I noticed that he didn't even try to move, I looked back and said, in my head, I was like, does he know who I am? The spirit literally grabbed me by the shoulder, like, For those that don't know, whenever I speak to, whenever I fellowship with young people, I see the spirit. When the spirit chases me, I see it as my dad when he grabs my shoulder. When my dad grabs my shoulder, I know that I've done something wrong. I know for sure that I have done something wrong and I did not realize I've done something wrong. So when he does that shoulder grab, I'm like, yes. So whenever I feel the spirits grab my shoulder, I'm like, yes. Imagine if I had said something to that guy. Be like, can't you see me? Can't you see what I'm wearing? Can't you see that you're supposed to give way for me because I am a coordinator? I am the person that is meant to take care of you as a student. Can't you? If I said something like that and the person goes outside and then they point at me and is like, isn't Charles a Christian? What do you think that person would say? What do you think that person would say? Just out of curiosity. Like, what do you think that person would say? Would that person say, yes, he's a full lover of Christ. Whatever he says is true, yes. Because he loves Christ and he shows it in his daily life. That particular person will not utter a single word. He may even say that I am one of those people that claim they're Christians, but they do the opposite thing. And that's not my testimony. I don't want that. I need to put on that fragrance, the fruit of the Spirit, and I cannot do it by my flesh. Saints, how many times have you tried to be show love by your flesh? How long does it last?
Until the next step on the toe.
Beautiful. Christian said something beautiful. Till the next step on the toe. Putting it, showing love in your flesh doesn't even go far. In Canada, there's a high rate of divorce. What do you think so? Just out of curiosity, what do you think
so?
Too much, huh?
Liberty, like liberalism?
I don't think it's liberty. But no, it's because the love is so fleshly.
Right.
So fleshly. People only seek their own good. They show you love because they have an ulterior motive. Saints, if there's one thing that the Spirit has burdened me to say, it's we should put on that fragrance of Christ.
Amen.
To show to the world that who we are and our virtues. We shouldn't just do it in the house of God, but also outside.
Amen.
How would the life of Christ be expressed through us? How would people see the life of Christ? Is it only through what we say? We can speak the word every time. You can speak the word to your fellow co-worker back in, day out. At a point, he may even know the Bible more than you, but then the life of Christ is not in either of you because you're not showing it. I used to have this one co-worker, very nice guy. Not really. But he poses to be a very nice guy. He's always nice to everybody, showing love to everybody. He claimed to be a Christian. He claimed to be this. And then I remember fully, one day there was a new coworker that was, he was trying to know more about Christianity. And when this guy said, yes, I'm a Christian, told him about, yes, he's a Christian. They started talking. They started reading the word. But every time, every weekend, they'll go and defile themselves and they'll come back and say the story with each other. You can ask these guys about the Bible, they'll bring out Bible verses. But yet their life was not it. They used to get mad at co-workers, they used to do all sorts of things. And back then I wasn't strong in my faith. So I used to think, okay, at least that's their own race. That's what they're doing, that they should just work it. But that didn't show Christ. And these are the type of ones outside that just give Christ a false name. Then when you say you're a Christian to somebody, they'll be like, yes, I've experienced people like you. You guys always say you're a Christian, and then you go do this, you go do that. You go fight over funds of the church. You go do this, you go do that. How else is Christ supposed to be expressed if not through us? I'm not going to go through all those points, because this is questions for you to ask yourselves. But one thing that I also just want to really talk about is, are we expressing Christ through our performances? Yes, we speak on the doctrine and teaching about how we can express Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. But the one thing we need to understand is, how about in our performances? The Bible warns us against a lot of things. And a couple of things here that I put is, one, against idleness and laziness. Like, how you claiming in your workplace, I'm a Christian, and you're always back on deadlines. You're always not even doing your work. Even in your classroom, for those of us who still go to classes and stuff and do courses, how you claiming you're Christ-like when there's no discipline, when you're always lazy? I'm a victim of this. The reason I say, yeah, I experience this sometimes. But it was before, when I didn't even know who Christ was. Paul, when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that you do? That was a good one. That was a good one. Go back to sleep. Beautiful. What time are you waking up? 6 a.m.? Oh, summer. Let's say you start school today. Yeah. When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that you do? Beautiful. Beautiful. Then what else? Go through your day. Tell me. As you can see, all his whole day is filled with something to do. And this is just his morning, am I right? His morning. He's listed 5-6 tasks he's done in the morning. Says there's some days that I wake up at 8 a.m. because I don't have work until 12. I'm just laying there. I'm not doing anything. I'm just laying there. I'll grab my phone, 8:30. I still got like 3 hours left. I just lay there. 9:30, 1 hour left. Just laying there. No productivity, that's laziness. Nothing is being done in my daily life. I'm just, nothing. My performance is bad. Saints, our conduct in the world has to be evident through our actions. Christ has to be shown, expressed through our actions. This is just an encouragement that we all, as saints and believers of Christ, is if we want the world to see the life of Christ,
amen,
our actions need to speak it way more louder than what our words to say. Praise the Lord.
Light turns
okay.
Yeah, there's a verse in the outline. The brother that didn't read it, I like to read it because it just touched me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Growing up, I used to like these verses a lot. It says, do we begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendations from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Growing up, I was encouraged that unbelievers don't even have time to read the Bible.
It's true.
Yeah? So, when they see us, they should see Christ.
Yeah.
And this, for me, kept me on watch. Yeah. At least if there's nothing I can do, that people should be able to, who don't have time to read the Bible, that they can read Christ in my daily living.
Amen.
And this has to cut across, especially unbelievers. They need to see Christ. They need to see in my living, in my expression. Like I was fellowshipping with a young brother and I said, the biggest problem we have is how to gain our friends and our family members for Christ. You know, this is the hardest because they are watching our lives. You know, and if our lives do not speak the right things, they will never. In fact, we will be doing the opposite. We're not going to encourage them to come to Christ. But when my life actually expresses Christ, the bad thing is that they don't immediately follow you. They want to know whether it's genuine, right? And it, sometimes it takes years.
Yeah.
I come from a family, we are 9, and by the grace of God, we are born again. But I was the first to be, I was the first to receive the Lord. And back then, I didn't have the liberty. We didn't have so much rooms, so we only had one sitting room and the bedrooms. And the only place I could pray early in the morning was in the sitting room. And I had to do it very early. And that was at 5 a.m. I'll come to the sitting room and I'll spring for my family. This is like 40 years ago. And 2 years ago, my elder sister, she's now received the Lord and she's very fervent in spirit. And she called me and said, Ose, you know you love the Lord. I said, how do you know? And then she said, I used to peep through the door. I'm not joking. I used to peep through the door and I see you kneeling down praying. I'm sure you were praying for us. I said, I don't even remember. But praise the Lord that at least somehow there was the fragrance of Christ in my family. And maybe with time, they all came to know the Lord. And I pray that we all take this burden to exhibit this fragrance of Christ. That people who smell Christ and not our flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to just give a testimony because I'm really touched. You know, I grew up, my mom was a very strict, dogmatic Roman Catholic. And she incited a lot of arguments with my father because he was not a Catholic. And she insisted the Roman Catholic Church was the only true church.
Yeah.
But my mom was not spiritual. She was very worldly and vain. I'm sorry to say this about my mom. Later we led her to the Lord. But eventually the family split up. And this caused me, by the way, I was very attracted to the person of Jesus.
Amen.
His humanity touched me. I said to myself, if I could be like anybody, I would be like him. I would like to be like Jesus. As I grew up, I realized I'm nothing like this man. So I'll try to be short. I didn't want anything to do with religion. My parents broke up. My older brother forced us to go to Mass. We would ride a bike. So when I got big enough, I said, no more. And I went downhill morally. I just become a heathen, unbeliever. I don't know if there's a God. Okay, so then I joined the boxing team. That's my passion. And there was this man that would come into the club. He was an independent boxer. He'd come in and spar with us. I noticed something different about him. He was really a Christian, but I didn't know it. Later, he told me he spoke to everyone in my club except me. And the reason he didn't speak to me, because I would get up and leave every time he came toward me. I didn't know. But it's God's sovereignty, and I'll tell you why. Because we went to California for the national AAU boxing tournament, and he told us a story about where he had been. And I admired him because he was different than the other, you know, boxers, some of them, very wicked people, real street fighters. I was in it for the sports. I just was attracted to it. Anyway, he told me this story. If he had come up and shared the gospel with me, I would have nothing to do with Christ. I would not receive it. But I was very critical. In 1969, I got in my first car accident. It was not my fault. A Baptist preacher ran me. And he shared the gospel. And he said that we are sinners. I thought, you know, I should have told him, you're the sinner. You ran into me. But I reasoned in my head that probably he's also a sinner. The only difference is I'm enjoying it and he's not. And then at the end, I resented being called a sinner. And I said, if this ever happens again, I'm going to tell them about my goodness. God took me up on that word. Anyway, I never saw a Christian. I didn't know any Christian. Then when March the 10th, 1972, a Christian came to my house. He's a friend. He became a Christian. And I saw Christ in this man, because he testifies of what happened to him. And I wanted to go and find out what's going on. And that's how I've become a Christian. I'm just giving this testimony because how we behave in the world makes a big difference. I never would have gone to church. I had no desire to go to church. I didn't want anything to do with religion. I was ignorant of the Bible. I didn't know the salvation. I didn't believe that I was a sinner. I thought, anyway, I saw Christ in this man. This motivated me to go there. Then the Holy Spirit was able to speak to me and reveal Christ in me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Lisa mentioned the fragrance of Christ. Remember this. Because if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "And walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." And you have to realize this sweet-smelling aroma, again, is tied back to the priesthood. In the other meeting, the previous meeting, we spoke about food for God. And what is food for God? Leo?
Christ.
What is food for God?
Spiritual offerings.
The spiritual sacrifices or the offerings. And when you read through Leviticus regarding all of the offerings, I'll take an example, Leviticus 1:9, and it says, at the end it says, "And the priest shall burn all the altar as a burnt offering." Mm-hmm. "An offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord." So this sweet aroma, brothers and sisters, is Christ working in us,
Amen.
Causing the change in us for the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit of the Spirit is what God desires. This is the sweet aroma of Christ. And for us to have the feast meeting filled with the sweet aroma of Christ, then we need the sweet aroma of Christ every day.
Amen.
Which means we have to live Christ.
Amen.
And that's why the priesthood is so practical.
Yeah.
We want to reflect Christ in our daily life.
Amen.
Then are we practicing, preparing the offerings daily? We want to be obedient to the Lord. We want to testify that. Well, then do we experience Christ as the burnt offering? To be obedient to Him, to be one with the Father. We want the fine humanity of Christ, then we need Christ as our meal offering. We want to be coexisting amongst our colleagues, our family, with peace, then we need Christ as our peace offering. Right? For us to have this sweet aroma of Christ, then we have to practice the priesthood.
Amen.
So may we all experience Christ in such a way. And then there will be the sweet
Amen.
Smelling aroma, firstly to please God our Father.
Amen.
And if we're well pleasing to God our Father, then this aroma will be around us in wherever we are at.
Amen.
We are running out of time.
Big topic, but I just wanted to reread 2 Corinthians 2:16. 2 Corinthians 2:16. And it says, to the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death.
Yes.
And to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life.
Yes.
And as the church, we have a great responsibility because we represent our King.
Amen.
And is the aroma that we have of death, or is the aroma that we have of life, right? And it's something that we should all ask the Lord to expose in us.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in certain groups or family members, maybe we're more life, but maybe with other groups we're more death, right? We really need to ask the Lord.
Yeah.
And just like the brother testified, when I was in my, so I grew up in the, not in the real church life, but in a denomination church life, I wasn't really interested. But in my grade 8 class, I was friends with a lot of people, and there were two Christians in my group of friends. And what actually attracted me to really start paying attention in the church was because of those two. Because I sensed something in them that was different than the rest of us. We all had fun, you know, we're all grade 8, you know, doing the things that we did. But I actually saw the fragrance of Christ. I smelt it from them. And I knew that there was something different about them. And that's actually why I started to attend like fellowship meetings, because I was like, there's something different about these two that they have that I do not have. And I'm like, I wonder what it is. And I attributed it to them being Christians, because all of us rest were not really Christians. So I'm like, it has to be because they're Christian. And that actually really drew my heart to at least start to seek to the Lord. So they gave to me this aroma of life, right? But you know, my dad is a Christian, but what stumbled him is in the church group that he met with, there was a lot of aroma of death.
Yeah.
And you know, we know that a lot of Christians, they're unfortunately are hypocrites, right? They say one thing, but their actions speak another.
Yeah.
And that really stumbled him, right? So they had the aroma of death, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually really do affect one another, not just in the church life, but outside. Because like the brother shared, people examine us. If you say you're a Christian, they are watching you.
Yeah.
But there's so many types of Christian these days, right? So they're examining all of us, right? And if we're for the King, then our life should reflect Him.
Amen.
And it should be evident to all. And the last thing that I just felt the Lord burned me to say is that all the glory goes to Him.
Amen.
So in Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the Lord's light in us, right?
Yeah.
We never want to take the credit.
Right.
And this is just a quick story. It's nothing about me, but a lot of the saints know that I used to be really into Christmas before the Lord showed me more. And when the Lord revealed it to me, I decided to sell all my Christmas stuff. And I ended up giving a Christmas tree to some random person in Atlanta. I put it on Facebook, and I ended up deciding to give it to her for free. And that actually opened up this conversation. She thought I was like the nicest person to her and all that stuff. And it ended up that act, we started to mess each other after I gave her the tree and whatever. And she was like, you're the nicest person I ever met. And I said, no, I said, I am a Christian. And I said, and I know it's a bit ironic on the topic, okay, just go with it, but I was like, I'm a Christian. And that actually opened her up that we would have more talks and stuff, and actually remembers her, I'm sure. And it actually, because she saw the light of Christ, but we have to use our words at that point to be like, no, it's nothing about me. It's this Jesus Christ that I follow. It's the life of God in me. That's the aroma that you're seeing. It's nothing to do with us. Because man doesn't understand God, so they'll think, oh, no, Moses is the nicest guy I've ever seen. Like, no, it's the Christ in me. We have to point back to our Father.
Amen.
So, yeah, praise the Lord.
Just one word. It's always easy to be nice when everyone is nice to you. If the niceness and kindness that we have is really of Christ, you will only know when it gets challenged.
Amen.
This is the big difference. There are many nice people, but once a challenge comes, you will see how is it really.
Yes.
Right? If your neighbor is always nice to you, you'll be nice to him. If you're not even nice to a nice neighbor, then it's worse than the unbelievers. That's what the Lord said in Luke 6. But what if your neighbor is mean to you, scolds you, tries to harm you? How will you react? Will you pay back? That's when we nearly see where we are at.
Amen.
So it's so good when God puts us in environments that give us pressure, challenge, unfriendliness. All these kinds of environments, they're not there to harm us. They're there to test us and to show to us how much Christ we really have and how much Christ we really need. That's why the meal offering is baked.
Yes.
You cannot eat flour mixed with oil. You cannot eat that. But you have to bake it. Then it can be enjoyed by God the Father. So let's be thankful when we get into such situation. Difficult situation, a family, what are you going to do? Complain? Say, why is it like that? Why can I not have only nice, obedient, gentle children? Well, you know why? Because God wants to work in us. At the end of the whole Bible, I just want to mention this, you don't see many individual people transformed. You see one holy city built together.
Amen.
But a building only works if there's transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Otherwise, building will never work. Sooner or later, I assure you, one person will step on your foot, then the second one, then the third one, then even the brother who brought you in the church will step on your foot twice. Why will that happen? On purpose. God will allow it. Because he wants to do a transforming work. That we are not here because of as long as everybody's nice. Are we here for the kingdom, for the city that he wants to build?
Amen.
So we should regard all these situations as an opportunity to be transformed and to be baked and then to bring a wonderful sweet-smelling aroma to God the Father.
Amen.
Once you go through the judgment, through the challenge, then the fragrance rises up. Oil and flour mix has no fragrance. But when do you know that something is baked right? When the smell comes, then you know, now it's time to take it out of the oven.
Amen.
So it's good not to complain about all the things that God puts around us, but to gain Christ and truly be transformed into his likeness. Because the more pressure they put on him, the more glory was shining out of him. Because it's not fake, but real. So may the Lord really help us to gain him in all these situations.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.